After the successful adaptation of John Waters' film Hairspray into a hit Broadway musical, a musical adaptation of another Waters film, Crybaby, opens next week on Broadway. In the movie, Johnny Depp had one of his first starring roles as a juvenile delinquent in 1954 named Crybaby Walker, who falls in love with a high society girl. Comic cultural clashes ensue. Our guests were brought in to write the songs for the new show. It's the first time they've worked together. David Javerbaum has won 8 Emmy Awards as a writer for The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. He's currently the show's executive producer. Adam Schlesinger is the co-leader of the pop rock band Fountains of Wayne, perhaps best known for their 2003 hit single, Stacy's Mom. He was nominated for an Oscar for Best Original Song for the title tune of the 1996 movie That Thing You Do. And he wrote some of the songs for the film Music and Lyrics. Before we hear the interview they recorded with Fresh Air's rock critic Ken Tucker, let's hear one of their songs from Crybaby.
The stars up above shine their light on our love, and the night, just like us, is still young. And it's long and it's slow, and I need to know, girl, can I kiss you with tongue? It's moist and it's pink, it's a muscle.
David Javerbaum and Adam Schlesinger, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So going into this project, were there things that you said to yourself based on the shows that you'd seen that you really, things you really wanted to make sure you got into your show, or things you wanted very specifically to avoid?
Well, there's a certain well-known show about somebody in a leather jacket in the 50s that does fairly well, I'm told. And we were very aware of that show. You know, and we just wanted to be sure that we were taking a totally different tone, to similar material. And one thing we would ask is, like, is this something that would be in Greece? And if the answer...
What's Greece?
Yeah.
You lost me.
So if the answer was yes, then we wouldn't want to do it. Not because Greece is bad, but because it's been done. And we don't want to do that. It just, we want to do something that's completely different.
So the big, you're the crybaby that I want, that song got scrapped.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. When we think of 50s rock, when this period is set in this show, I think we think of Elvis and Little Richard and Chuck Berry, but you also had to write songs for the kind of people that your female lead, Allison, hung out with, kind of bland pop music that at the time was epitomized by singers like Pat Boone or Connie Francis or somewhat more interesting harmony groups like the Four Freshmen. In Crybaby, that music is performed by the squarest characters, this four-part harmony group that call themselves the Wiffles.
Yes.
There's a song that I really like that's kind of their manifesto called Squeaky Clean. Could you describe that song?
Squeaky Clean is, as you said, is their manifesto. It's a song that they're singing at a talent show. And the best way to describe it, the first verse is Squeaky Clean, that's what they call us. Our thoughts are pure and our grooming is flawless. We're well-bred, well-mannered, and, well, just nice. And when you rub our hair, it sounds like mice. And it's just that, you know, and it's something I wanted to write something. We wanted to write something that they could say and be proud of unironically and that we would find funny ironically. And that's a common thing that we tried to do. And it's fun to do it if you can do it. It's tricky.
I mean, actually, the opening number of our show is split into two halves, one half for the Squares and then one half for the Drapes, who come on stage and kind of take over. And I think that's a very different way to open the show from what people might be expecting if they think it's, you know, a sequel to Hairspray or a prequel to Hairspray or something, because, you know, Hairspray starts with like a big high energy thing. We actually open our show with the squarest possible song where they're singing about this anti-polio picnic that they're having, and, you know, all the Squares are gathered around to get their polio shots, and they're just...
It's not low energy, but it's not rockabilly yet. I mean,
yeah.
It's very sort of big Hollywood movie opening. But the tone of it is odd in that we're celebrating an anti-polio picnic and then somebody comes out with an iron lung and laments that he didn't get a polio shot. So it's a little bit askew, and hopefully that will be a signal to the audience that we're playing around with them a little bit.
Yeah, and I should mention you used the term drapes, which I wasn't familiar with till I saw the movie, and I guess John Waters has explained that that's a kind of Baltimore term for hoods or hoodlums.
That's right.
Yeah,
we'd never heard of that term either before this project, but that is correct.
But it's a good word because you can rhyme a lot with it, I guess, I would think.
I don't actually think we rhyme drapes anywhere on the show.
Oh, okay.
I don't. You're right.
I knew we forgot something.
I don't think we did. But, looking back, maybe we should have had a song about grapes. And that clearly would
or crepes.
Or crepes, and that would have been fun.
John Waters is listed in the credits as creative consultants, and I always take that as code for never set foot in the theater before opening night. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
You're wrong, Ken.
You're wrong, Ken.
Good.
You're
all
absolutely
right.
Wrong.
Good.
No,
tell me how wrong I am.
He's been involved sporadically throughout the entire process, more so as he's gotten closer and closer to this point. He is really among the smartest people I've ever met. And the notes that he gives, he's not proprietary. He's not trying to recreate the movie. He recognizes it's a different form. And his notes are just so smart and focused, and we pretty much always take them. But he doesn't force them on us. I mean, he's a real gentleman. And, it's been a pleasure to work with him and to get to know him.
And did he ever say, that could be a little racier. That could be a little more John Waters-y.
Oh. Well, he never says anything should be more John Watersy, but yeah. He does say that things should be racier, things should be campier. Well, he doesn't use the word campy either, actually. No. But he he's very focused on whether the tone of a scene is right, whether the tone of a character is right, and those are the kind of notes he gives more often than not. He doesn't micromanage, and he doesn't tell anybody that a line should be this instead of this, or a melody should be this instead of this. He just if it feels wrong to him in general, that's what he'll say.
My guests are David Javerbaum and Adam Schlesinger. They've written the music for the new Broadway show, Crybaby. Two songs in the show in particular seem to me to be kind of polar opposites stylistically. One is a kind of rockin' party song that's sort of an homage to Eddie Cochran that's called Baby, 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 and then in parentheses in my playbill, it says Baby, Baby, Baby.
That's a typo.
That's a typo.
It's supposed to be five babies, five then babies. Parentheses, then two babies.
Yeah, we apologize. We're furious about that.
And what I really like is that it consists almost entirely of that one word. It's almost sort of an anti-Broadway show tune in that it's very kind of Ramonesy almost. It's very, it's very kind of punk rock sort of.
Well, I mean, one of the things that we talked about when we first started working on this show is, rockabilly music is not exactly the most musically complex genre, shall we say. And so we said, well, how are we going to do this? We have to write a whole show with rockabilly songs. I mean, it's like a genre where, if you use a third chord, you're almost breaking the rules sometimes. And so, that's a song where we actually are playing with the fact that some of those songs are just so incredibly simple.
And we embraced it. We just embraced it on that one. And I think the essence of rock and roll is the word baby. I think that's pretty much it.
Although for a little while in the 70s, it was actually changed to mama.
Yes.
And they went back to baby.
It was mama. That's right.
Come on, get up here, Allison.
But I don't know the words.
The other song, which I think is kind of the opposite, is the one that's sung by Harriet Harris. In a show that doesn't have many big names in its cast, I think Harriet Harris might be known to many of our listeners as Frasier's agent Bebe in the TV show Frasier. She plays the grandmother of your female lead, the self-proclaimed conservative Episcopalian, and she has this big solo number called "I Did Something Wrong Once," which she lets loose with her own set of reasons about why people don't get her, to use Crybaby's terminology. Was that a challenge to write that kind of real? That struck me as, in a way, the most traditional sort of Broadway showstopper.
That is a traditional kind of 11 o'clock number. No, it wasn't. I mean, with that lyric, I was just trying to give voice to somebody who reluctantly admitting to having made one mistake in her life. And, you know, the journey of the song, so to speak, is to go from not admitting it to admitting it and preparing to rectify it, but still having only admitted to one mistake in your life. And it's, you know, it's written in a very, yeah, it's much more literate and complicated lyrically than Baby, 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 as is pretty much every song in the world. By the way, I want to hasten to add that we're talking about these songs that we rewrote. Like, we're aware of, these are just like silly songs in a Broadway show. Like, I'm getting very self-conscious right now.
I created my second masterwork.
Yeah. I mean, we ain't Lennon and McCartney here talking about the White Album.
Part of it is actually you can't be precious about your work in this situation. You can't think, oh, this is my art, because just, you know, every day you're just cutting things and changing things and slashing things out. So, I mean, you know, you just kind of do it and it works. And if it doesn't work, you do something else.
And you've also written stuff for people as they enter the theater and as they leave the theater, kind of advice to them and little slogans.
That was Adam's awesome idea for the overture and the what's it called after the overture? The idea on the show, the underture?
Yeah. Exit music?
The aperture?
Some of the things are, you know, remind me. There were things like, you know, unwrap your lozenges in the beginning.
Well, actually, the way it started is because there are actually legal requirements of announcements that have to be made before a Broadway show starts, you know, about turning off your cell phone and that kind of thing. And I just said, well, you know, it's such a bummer to have some voice come on. Can't we just have the band sing that stuff? And so that developed into this whole thing of having the band kind of shouting instructions at the audience as they enter and exit. And, I would hope that as we go, we could actually keep changing that as we go and maybe mix it up.
Yeah, I mean, but that's like just part of like this – the sense of play that we tried to bring to this, like, we don't care. Like, that seemed like a funny idea. Let's just do it. And we were lucky enough to be allowed to do those kind of things.
Yeah. And we're always pitching ideas that sort of play with the idea of a Broadway show in general. And some of them work and some of them we just go too far. I mean, I had this idea that I wanted to put the bows after the first song. That one obviously didn't fly.
Next show, Adam.
Next show, I'm going to do that. Well, I want to thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
David Javerbaum and Adam Schlesinger wrote the songs for the new Broadway musical, Crybaby. It opens next week. Javerbaum is the executive producer of The Daily Show. Schlesinger is the co-leader of the band Fountains of Wayne. They spoke with Fresh Air's rock critic, Ken Tucker, who is also editor-at-large for Entertainment Weekly.